I've gathered you all here, gentlemen, the four of you, and I just wanted to make some sort of quick announcement. It has to do not only with Nitrobeard, but with life in general. And I'm sure you all are aware of how fucking terrible League of Legends is. How fucking ridiculous. How fucking absurd. This is the worst game. The worst game maybe on the planet. Because... Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, well... Yeah.
I played it as Slave.
No. Enslave is one of those, dude, that...
Mark wrote 1,700 words on why you should avoid Enslave.
I mean, that's a lot of rage, but my rage for League of Legends knows no bounds.
Like, listen, I have played, like, 450 games of League of Legends.
You should be
Your
70...
rage... is nothing compared to mine. I am just better at controlling it. I'm like She-Hulk. You're like Bruce Banner.
Let me explain what the fuck this game is about. Okay, it's 3v3 or 5v5, and you get pick a hero, and then you go and you farm shit.
What is this? Farmville?
You pick a fucking dude, you go in a fucking place, you do some fucking shit, and you get fucking angry.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Basically, it's a tower defense game. Like Defense of the Ancients, and you go and you kill minions to level up, and then you get different abilities, and then you kill other people with those abilities. It's fucking stupid. Game is trash. This game is ridiculous. Like, each game takes a goddamn 45 minutes, and that's whether you win or lose. I'm serious.
Is that like cricket, where they can play for like 8 days and still
Yeah, exactly. People? Like, but at least cricket, you make goddamn progress. Like,
no, you don't. They can play for 8 days and nobody wins.
I went to a cricket game once and they had a dinner break, and that's when I just left because I had other things to do.
No, okay, this I think is a sequel to cricket then, because this fucking it's ridiculous. Like,
this is the
I've lost
to cricket.
I have lost. I've lost 12 games in a row. 12 games, right? Each game lasted 55 minutes to an hour and 20 minutes, and I lost.
What can you possibly
You had an hour and 20-minute game?
Oh, yeah.
Even I haven't had that. Jesus Christ.
No, and it's dumb because you can't tell if you're going to win or lose until, like, minute 45. And it's like, the fuck is this? Like, I could watch
That's the problem I was telling you. Like, when you get to, like, level 30 and stuff, you can pretty much tell who's going to win by minute 15, if not 20.
Thank God.
That's where they lowered the surrender
time. You level up individually each game?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but basically you have your account, which levels up. So, like, I'm a level 7.
I'm making a horrified derp face
yeah,
right
no,
now.
Yeah, no, just wait. We'll get into the schematics. It's fucking ridiculous. Like, I'm a level 7, and you get XP per win, but you also get XP if you lose. But the XP if you lose is so bad that I can lose a bot match.
It's like pity XP.
No, that's exactly what it is. And here's the thing, is like I can get more by losing to fake people, like to playing a fake match of League of Legends, which still lasts fucking 50 minutes. And
well, you can end it in like 11.
You can rush it up. There's no way you can just make yourself fail miserably. Or is it just that you're actually trying?
No, you can, when you go against bots, if you're actually... It's bots are kind of terrible. Like, they'll just walk forward. They sometimes get confused and just walk around between your towers just taking hits, like literally walking in circles. And you can, if you want to, just march straight up the middle and finish a game in like 9 minutes or something. But this is also sadly the best way to get experience. Like Trey, when he wanted to level up to 30, he just played like 10 bot games a night or something.
Yeah, which is absurd. That's seriously like 6 hours.
Because
at my... Okay, this is the type of game... You know people have the complaints about Call of Duty. Well, oh, of course you're going to fucking kill me, you level 89 bastard with your one-shot sniper rifle while I have a grenade that doesn't do any damage because I'm a level 2. Like, you're getting rewarded by playing more games with
better
shit.
Wait, are
we
talking about Battlefield Bad Company 2?
Well, but any type of multiplayer first-person shooter that they give you better shit the more you play, therefore you're going to kill people quicker because you have better shit. Like, it's that snowball effect. This is that times infinity. Of course, people that I play that are level 20 are going to be able to like, two-shot me. Even if
well, yeah, but they're not, like, you can't... The problem with League of Legends is, like, they don't... Unless they duo queue with someone, which is a fucking dick thing to do. Like, you can have a friend, like, if you're level 30 and you have a level 1 friend, you will be matched against, like, level 15s, and of course steamroll them. But that's a more rare thing that happens. But a lot of the heroes, for some reason... Okay, with the way League of Legends is balanced is... you have the summoner level, which he mentioned. And as you go to level 30, you get more mastery points, which you can increase your stuff. Like, you can have more magic power per level, you can have more damage per level, etc. And you get 30 points into that as you go through the game. So when you're level 1, it's a big sight different from when you're level 30. And you also have runes, which also do the exact same thing.
Right.
And for some reason, they intend to balance the game so level 1 and level 30, the heroes are exactly as viable,
which is
completely impossible.
It is like, dumb.
When you're level 1, if someone spends $10 and buys a certain hero, there is nothing that a level 1 can do to counter that person. It will just steamroll.
Yeah. Is this the fucking game with Broloff?
Yes.
Yeah. And like Tibbers.
How the hell did you hear about Broloff?
Yeah, you posted it.
Did I really?
Somebody did, and you were like, oh, I'm all over this. And I think
it was not you. Me. I fucking hate
okay. Bro. You weren't.
Probably
okay.
True.
I am anti-Broloff. You gotta get that.
You're anti-Broloff? Okay.
So this game sounds not fun whatsoever. Why are you guys playing it?
And Valve is making one.
I like Dota. I like Dota as a concept. League of Legends so far is also like, if you play Dota, which is probably what helps, I've played Dota, Heroes of New Earth, and League of Legends. League of Legends looks like heaven compared to Han and Dota.
It's a very competitive
bullshit, and it has like Korean MMO bullshit where you have to grind like 3 hours every day to get new stuff.
Right.
But the gameplay is so much better than Dota. It is absurd.
Right. And like you can tell, like it's kind of built around the way the game is built. Like your interface works better and things are easier to click and things are bigger and characters are bigger and it's more colorful. So it's like more inviting and it's free to play. Yeah. So that's, you know, how they get people in.
So it's Nintendo Dota?
Yeah, it is Nintendo.
Kinda, yeah, it's a very dumbed down Dota, but more dumbed down. Like Dota had a lot of stupid shit that shouldn't have been in the game that people clinged onto because it made the game complicated and skillful. Manually, it was actually just stupid as hell.
But like,
and League of Legends just cut off a lot
just
of stuff.
Just the amount of like bitching from people about these games, about the game, the balance and play. I don't know. I just
the main problem with League of Legends is you need 4 non-stupid people on your team that are also trying.
That are trying and also have
impossible on the internet unless you bring your friends in. But if you bring your friends in, this is the glory of their matchmaking. If you get 4 friends together and you're like, yeah, we have 5 competent people, you will only be matched against people that are also a 5
yep.
person group, and it will also bump up the like, because everyone has this like invisible point system they have for like ELO to say like how good a player is, and it'll automatically give you like a huge bump and assume you guys are better players because there's 5 people, when in reality my friends are kind of like dogs that walk into walls. So I would like to not have that little bump, because we're against a team that's like coordinated, they're gonna gank and shit, and they're like, yeah, and they're like the top gun of a game, and we're just like, yep, this is no fun whatsoever.
Right. I think the thing that infuriates me so much about this game, and it's probably the other games like this, is you can have the perception at minute 30 that you're going to win. That you're seriously, okay, we have every lane done, their towers are done, they're killing their base. 5 minutes later, you lost. And well, you're like, the fuck just happened? I wasted minutes.
Hold on. Before this turns into another 2-hour George and Wes podcast, I have to find out, Mark, what do you think about League of Legends?
I have no opinion of League of Legends because my computer is shit. I don't play it.
It can run it, I promise.
Yeah, it probably can, but I play. I play Marvel 3, so I already have my rage.
I need a definitive opinion on it from you, Mark. Make up something.
Well, you know, it has a really stupid name because it abbreviates to LOL, so it's probably a dumb game, and
you'll
play a better Valve version better on. So I say just avoid it.
The Valve version is going to be better, because what they're going to do is take what makes it good and make it better, and then take out all the bullshit about like an hour-long game where I waste my goddamn time. Like, I'm used to winning games in StarCraft in 9 minutes.
Well, the thing that I absolutely hate about long League of Legends games is after 40 minutes, like, when your hero dies, you have, it's like basically like Left 4 Dead, where you have like a 30-second something spawn timer. Except, as the game goes on, the spawn timers get larger and larger.
Longer. So you're waiting.
When you get to an hour, if your team can be winning like all hell, you can have them down to their nexus, but if they get lucky and kill every single person on your team, they have a full minute of free time when you have no heroes whatsoever, and they can just march into your base and end the game right there.
Why do you guys subject
yourself to this? So after 40 minutes, it's basically whoever dies first loses the game.
Yeah, so it's a waste of goddamn... Like, I did it because I made that New Year's resolution post. Like, I want to try this because it's a competitive game. And now I'm like, fuck this trash. Like, this is dumb.
Let me just say something. Starcraft. Competitive games are stupid and annoying, and they just lead to heartbreak and tears.
Hey, don't be hating.
Just avoid that competitive games.
No, because I'll tell you what, man. StarCraft, I can know in the first 60 seconds of the game, probably, if I'm going to win or lose. I can tell you verbatim. So I'm like, okay, I'll play
this. The other guy probably knows that as well, right?
Yes. But they don't know what the other person's building yet. That's because you can't see what your opponent's building until like minute 5 or 6 into the game.
Right.
But so it's like chess. If you couldn't see what your opponent's doing, you're moving in the dark, and then you had to move every 15 seconds. So it adds to this appeal to it, but I can literally know based on how I play if I win in the first minute. I can tell. I can be like, okay, I'm off this game. My build order's bad. I'm not doing stuff right. I'm supply blocking myself. You know, all this stuff. Right. I can tell if I'm doing it wrong. In League of Legends, I have no fucking clue. I have no clue until minute 35 if I'm even doing okay.
So it's wild card bitches the game.
Kinda.
Yeah.
It's... I don't want to defend it because I realize it's a fucking terrible game, but it's like a Final Fantasy XI where I had this strange sort of fun playing it. But eventually the company got, like, they're determined to make their product as inaccessible as humanly possible. Like,
right.
You're playing right now, and you were honestly better off playing, like, a few weeks ago, if not a few months ago. And they're just making it as terrible as humanly possible.
So fucking...
So this is the point where I have officially stopped playing.
Is this one of those situations where the developer is obviously catering the game toward, like, the very hardcore audience and just has no indication
there? They're making it into a Chinese MMO.
Yeah.
For a Korean. That's good. They've been bought out by a Chinese company too. So
doesn't that basically happen to every online community?
Sort of. I mean, in to certain extremes, but yeah, I agree with you, Imran. It does. But with this, everything takes so long to do. Like to level up, it takes forever. To play a fucking game, it takes forever. But then you have like 80 champions, and then you'll hear people on your team go, "Oh, you should play this other champion." Be like, "Fuck, I don't have the time. Like, I don't have the time to learn two more champions because each of these matches takes an hour and a half." It's ridiculous. Oh,
this sounds like a dumb game for babbies.
It is dumb game for babbies.
I think I'll probably just wait for the Valve Dota because does things that make things easier for people like me.
I think I tried Heroes of New Earth.
Oh, that one's the cesspool of like, that's the Second Life of the internet.
No, the thing is that both Dota and at first Heroes of New Earth wanted to
what have I done?
Exactly what they were. And that's the problem. Like, if Dota 2 is exactly what Dota was, it's going to be a terrible game. The thing that League of Legends did was cut off, like, the quote-unquote secret shops. It cut off denying. And anyone who does like denying is basically the worst person on God's green earth. And I wish the most ill of them. And if Dota 2 has everything from Dota... it's going to be a terrible game. And if they're League of Legends but better and actually care about making their game experience enjoyable, it's going to be fantastic.
See, they're adding stuff. Like, Valve is smart, and they've already said they're adding stuff like coaching. Like, in-game replays, coaching to where you can get mentored up with someone who's better or, like, someone on your friends list, and they can watch a replay or watch you while you play and say, yeah, keep this up, be sure to watch this. Kind of like what you can do in StarCraft or, you know, if you have observers in, like, Counter-Strike or something like that. But... it's going to make it easier to learn. Because right now, these type of games, man, are fucking ridiculous. Like, you don't know if you're doing good or bad. And then your team's always telling you you're doing bad. So even if you are doing good, you're doing bad. So, it's absurd.
I would like to move us off the topic of Dota clones.
Can I just say,
I hate them.
One more thing?
Yes.
I am absolutely looking forward to the pre-order hats I get for TF2 from Dota.
Yeah. Sexy hats.
I want like a big elf cap and elf ears.
Hats are pretty nice.
But Belita, you have to rage about something.
What was it? I can't even remember what I was going to rage about. We were going to talk about bosses or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right, and I've previously raged about the BitTrip beat bosses and how they're completely ass backwards because the last one is just Pong, and you can't beat the computer. It's dumb.
It's dumb. Is it for babbies?
Well, I'm sorry. This is the Dota conversation made me stupider.
No, it will. That's why I rage so hard at that game. It's because like I wasted my fucking time. I could have played like 20 ladder games in StarCraft, or I could have like taken a nap and would have been more productive my fucking day.
You could have practiced surgery on yourself.
Yeah.
You could have, you know, jumped out of the building.
I could have got addicted to heroin. And
yeah.
You know what? That would have been a more fulfilling relationship than with me and League of Legends.
And probably cheaper.
Yeah.
Okay, Shark Gene. I could rate about $60 video games again.
Only have one speed,
please.
And that's go.
$16 video games or $60 video games?
60. I think we already did that, though, on the last cast, didn't we? Did we?
Yeah.
I think we did.
At some point, we probably did, but I mean, if there's anything new you had to say about $60 video games,
if you had something.
Nothing. No, nothing new to say about $60 video game other than, I know at some point somebody said, I can't remember who, but you know we have been bitching about $60 PC games, and somebody was like, well, what do you expect? Do you think they're going to go back now? And no, of course not. So, so EA thinks I'm just going to wait for sales on all your games.
Yeah.
Bye.
Might wait for the Steam sale during holidays.
I feel bad because the only reason I'm against Bulletstorm is just its price tag, basically.
Yeah.
I don't
it wasn't just the price tag. It was it started adding odd and on. First I found out it was gonna be $60. Mm-hmm. And then I found out it was Games for Windows Live. And then
found
out there wasn't an actual co-op campaign. And then they keep getting added on and on, and I was like, oh, okay, so I guess this will be a good $20 or $30 game.
Yeah, exactly.
See, what's sad is the game, I feel like it's going to get lost in its own, oh, this is made by Epic, and then Gears 3 is going to come in September, because it's a really, really good game.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I finished it earlier
today.
I have
no doubt that it's a good game, but everything surrounding it, outside of it, the actual gameplay just...
Yeah.
And it's amazing how much that could just completely turn me off away from it when I was
like,
planning on buying it day one.
I don't think anything's... It's a great game, but I don't really think it's worth $60.
Right, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard from a lot of people. Somebody was like, well, I just beat Bulletstorm. I feel kind of ripped off.
Well, how many hours is Bulletstorm? Like,
it's like 8.
Yeah.
I'd say about 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's well-paced, I'll give it that. There's absolutely no filler. You're always doing something interesting.
Yeah.
So
is there any kind of replayability aside from collecting shit? I mean, is there anything like to keep you from selling it back to GameStop for $40 or?
Nothing I could see. There's a multiplayer mode, but I mean, it's just I believe arena scores.
Right.
So yeah, if you've ever played Borderlands, it's basically Mad Moxie, but in Bulletstorm.
And you can buy like 4 maps for $10 if you want now.
Ugh. Ooh.
I'm pretty sure they announced some.
What
DLC
a bargain!
Yeah.
You can also replay levels for like you know high scores, but that's
right.
Only if you really care about that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really a shame that price
I think
tag.
The base game is probably better than Gears of War, but
yeah.
I mean, no one's ever going to know that because it's not a console exclusive.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really would have liked Bulletstorm. I think I'd speak much highly of it if you may forgive me doing this, but if it had balls, because like. About 60% of the way through the game, you just kept fighting more and more humanoid things until they became very generic, and it didn't throw any... Like, it promised to get more and more ridiculous. It's like, yeah, we're going to throw some Godzilla stuff at you and this and that. And then after a point, it just gets more bland and boring.
More regular human people?
Stuff. Yeah. And just becomes, really plain.
Do they still call you things like Dick Gravy?
No, they just stop saying shit entirely. It's kind of disappointing.
They blew the load, so to speak, really early on.
The reference to, like, the that they don't actually throw any more, like, big monster-type things at you. One thing I think FPSs do wrong a lot of the times is they'll come up with very unique mechanics, and then halfway through the game they'll just completely subvert them with enemies that can't be, like, leashed or kicked or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, hell, Gears of War did that, too.
Yeah.
It sounds like the sort of game that, like, takes, like, a couple hours before it, like, unlocks all of your, everything you want to, like, do interesting?
No, I mean, you get some weapon unlocks as you beat bosses, but the actual, like, the leashing and the kicking, the main things you're doing are going to be, you'll get that around the first hour.
Okay.
That's also something I was disappointed. Like, once you get a shotgun, like, it'll eventually get a secondary move. That's all it'll ever do. And the points you get are pretty much only going to go toward ammo. Like, that is the only reason you have points. There's no, like, really cool upgrades to them, or even to, like, a Bioshock degree, where it's like, we're just going to make your gun look more fancy and fire a little bit faster.
Oh, right.
Yeah, like I was flush with points at the end, even though I was filling up on ammo every time.
Yeah.
Ooh,
is there, like, a new game plus to this thing, where you get to play around with all your new upgraded weapons, or do you just start beginning every time?
Not that I know of. Honestly, the ending was so flat that I just kind of, like, shut the game off.
Yeah, just kind of end. It's just like, yeah, we're done here. We ran out of our budget, I guess.
But we're done. Fuck you.
Sequel, kids.
Suck my dick. Bye bye.
Download DLC to see the rest of the story.
But yeah, exactly.
Yeah, on the topic of bosses, Bulletstorm absolutely needed a last boss, because I expected some, like, Duke Nukem thing where I'm going to fight some giant dude that has, like, a pair of testicles that shoot rockets or something. And then it's just like, nope, you press 5 buttons in a QTE and you're done. That's
really?
It.
Well,
I would forgive the lack of a final boss if there was not, like, an actual boss earlier in the game. You fight a giant plant monster.
And a giant, like, planet monster?
Plant monster. And the boss fight itself is essentially like Zelda. Like any Zelda plant monster you can think of.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Huh.
But that's the only boss fight in the game, and it's completely weird why there wasn't one at the end.
That is weird. Well, because that's especially weird because Painkiller had some really, couple of different bosses, you know, huge bosses, et cetera, et cetera. But that was a bit odd.
All they really needed to do was make big shit that stomps around. Like, it didn't even need to be difficult, just be cool, and I would have been happy.
Yeah.
Let's always talk about, like, bosses and things. I would say that that's the type of game that really does need bosses.
Yeah.
I know I've been kind of critical of bosses, but yeah, a game that's sold on the spectacle, and of course that's what Bulletstorm is about, right?
Right, just exactly.
Huge shit going on all the time. Well, that probably makes sense to have a huge set-piece boss, or like two or three.
Well, I think most more genres benefit from bosses than lose something because of them.
Yeah. I feel like the only time I'm object to bosses is when a game tries to be more grounded and stuff. Like, I know Half-Life isn't very grounded realism, but the way it plays is very not boss friendly.
Right,
or like
exactly.
Alpha Protocol did not need bosses or stuff like that. I mean, unless you go
I don't know that the boss they had with the guy taking up coke and then just raging at you. That was a pretty awesome boss.
What was his name? Breaker or something?
Breako,
yeah.
Didn't people really hate that fight because of the just sudden difficulty spike right in the middle of it for no explained reason? Wasn't that one of the bosses?
Oh, no. Gameplay-wise, it was kind of a mess. But an actual, like, you know, theory, it was hilarious.
You know, thematically, I have no problem with bosses. But just the way they're implemented, they're just there to hold people back is what they're usually there for. It just doesn't really add anything anything useful aside from, like, making the game longer. It's just bad.
It always comes down to implementation, though. Like, mm-hmm. You say you think Ninja Gaiden would have been better without bosses.
Say it didn't be better without the bosses. I'm saying that every time I put down that game, it was because it was some bullshit that a boss did. It's like, okay,
but
here's
I mean,
the next
if you didn't have those bosses, it would be just exploding ninjas on you constantly. And eventually, that would get boring.
I would have no problem with that because that's the reason I like Ninja Gaiden was the fucking combat. Not this, all of a sudden, we're going to have this puzzle piece in the middle of this game that you have to solve.
Yeah,
if you're not good enough to get to solve this, then you might as well get rid of your game because, you know, despite the fact you already paid your $60, you can't go any further than this and we're sorry. And just,
right.
No, but that's like, would you think Devil May Cry would be better without bosses?
I think it'd be better with better bosses.
Because, like, the only thing in Devil May Cry and Ninja Gaiden is that bosses just force me to use abilities I don't normally use. Like, hey, I actually have to block for once. Holy shit.
Right.
And once I learned to actually block, Ninja Gaiden bosses were an absolute joke.
Yeah.
Like, I just block until an opening, then dive in.
Yeah, I mean, I played through most of through Ninja Gaiden 1. I got to the part where these two ice worm bosses, and I basically just got bored with it, just trying to, just, you know, whatever this is. Horse shit, I played like 12 hours in the game. I got my money's worth. But it's just, you know, I paid for this game. I'm not exactly sure why we have to set up this thing where if you don't have skill beyond this point, you can't access it.
Right.
You know, we don't deal with this in like any other form of media. We don't suddenly change like Gulliver's Travels and it suddenly turned to fucking Latin halfway through.
Right, exactly. It's like
that's true of anything. Look at if you couldn't solve the Tower of Hanoi puzzle in Mass Effect, then you probably didn't have the gels necessary. You weren't going to get past that part.
Right.
If you can't solve a puzzle in Zelda, you can't get past that part.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the example I was going to bring up is Zelda, because Zelda, that game is nothing but boss battles. And not necessarily with a big, like, walking Dodongo, you know, is afraid of smoke type thing, but like the puzzle, the puzzles are bosses, right? Because you're using what you just learned in the game in the field, like whenever you're just killing the skeletons or whatever, you're using things you just acquired to beat something, whether it's a puzzle or a bigger enemy. And like Metal Gear is the same way. That game is nothing but boss fights, but the filler in between is giving you new stuff to learn until you get to the next boss.
Yeah, I think Metal Gear Solid 3 would have really suffered. Like, you could do the game without bosses.
Right, I agree.
But it... Sure. Like, there's a good example, because 4, I don't think the bosses were very good. And I think 4, they should have actually made them better.
4 needed a lot of help aside from just the bosses. 3's bosses benefited that they were great characters.
I think, yeah.
Right? You wanted to interact with those guys.
Yeah.
And they weren't...
Well, even taking away the characterness. Like, I don't really care about... God, who was the first guy? The snake guy that was in the trees?
Yeah.
That was a pain.
That wasn't pain.
Pain was the first guy. There was another guy after that would like eat poison food if you laid it down.
The pain was the bees.
The end who was the sniper.
The bees, not the bees.
Yeah, the fury was the fire guy.
Guy with the you're talking about the guy with the crossbow who would like go all the turn shit in the jungle.
Well, he was like. Like, I had no idea who the hell he was, but he made you play the game in a different way than you normally would.
Yes, exactly.
Sure. And the thing about the MGS bosses, well, some of them, for number 3, is that they were, like, their own levels, right?
Yeah.
So you had the Fear, who was his own level, and you had to beat basically his level before you go any further, or the end.
Right.
You had to complete his level.
It was prepping you for his fight. Right, exactly. And it feels like in these other examples, like Devil May Cry, you would do the same thing to the boss that you would do to the other 700 things you hit. So it just felt like, oh, this is the bigger guy with more health.
But you have to do it better, because I cannot imagine Devil May Cry 3 without the Virgil fights.
Right.
Devil May Cry 3 had probably the best boss fights I can think of in any game.
I'll sign on to that.
Sure. And for like that type of game, fine, bosses make sense, because they're a little more – they're kind of – like the last bastion of like arcade gameplay inside of a modern game.
Right? Here come the Left 4 Dead 2 invites.
Oh shit!
Oh god!
Hanky just invited me.
That's the end of the podcast.
No, I'm not gonna go play. Hanky just wanted me to mention his invite. I was gonna say something about bosses. I got nothing now.
Hanku's a boss.
Hanku's
also
a
like
boss.
On a note of Metal Gear Solid 4, while most of them sucked, I love the bosses that were also like set pieces, like the Raven chase through the entire town.
Absolutely.
Or like the Metal Gear fight. Like when they actually set it up and like it was like a moving boss fight, they were really, really cool.
That it made sense for the narrative as it was happening. Like you're doing this because this is happening and you have to deal with it. Like
Metal Gear Solid 4 was pretty ballin'.
And I think that's kind of, I won't say the future of boss fights because that sounds ridiculous, but I think it is kind of moving towards that direction. I mean,
it also took a few steps back. Like, I liked the cinematics of the very last fight, but the actual fight itself made me rage
it was
so
like
hard sometimes.
That's like the ultimate example, not the ultimate example, but a great example of a horribly done boss fight that adds nothing to the game and just makes it's just there for filler. It's just
the boss fights are basically artistry now. Like, people who can do them are like Mikami, Kamiya. They're very good at it. But then other people who try to do it, like,
God of War 3 had a horrible boss fight then.
God of War 3 was bad in general, dude.
God of War has bad final boss fights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
You're going about Remedy, Emran? I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, because Alan Wake.
Yeah.
That game should not have bosses.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't even seem like something would have bosses.
Than any other shower person.
Well, the thing about Alan Wake was you fought three different enemy types in the entire game, and you fought like 15 minutes worth of combat, and you knew the combat you were going to have through the rest of the game. I mean, there were different scenarios that they put them in with those same basic guys, but you had a pretty good idea of what you're going to go through that entire game. And just at the end of it was just – it was just horrible, this – I can't even really explain it.
Basically, I think David Cage – dude that made, didn't he make Heavy Rain?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. But he kind of brought it up and said it's an outdated idea.
Now, let me say
Isn't that the son of a bitch that put in the storm in Fahrenheit?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, let me just say this about David Cage. He's also the guy who's basically making full motion video games based on QuickTime events. He has no right to say jack shit about regressive gameplay when the two things that Heavy Rain is based on are the worst things in gaming right now.
Well, that's true, but also that you can argue both sides, because is it his fault that those mechanics are so outplayed? And no, like, basically, he is the type of game developer that says, I want to make a game that has no combat.
Well, it's his fault that he does them badly.
Well, no, I agree with that, but...
Because look at Telltale and Jurassic Park. Even just the little bit we've seen of that, it's using the exact same system as Heavy Rain, but it looks to be a lot better.
Right, and that's true, and I think, but I definitely think it has merit that he's bringing up the question, because it is our industry's fault. The collective fault of everybody that we haven't progressed more than we have. And I think it is because of outdated ideas like boss fights. Like,
yeah, they're basically built on the arcade idea of putting in quarters. But the thing that gets me when I go against a boss, and going back to Ninja Gaiden again, I love the combat in Ninja Gaiden. Whenever I go into a boss with Ninja Gaiden, I'm thinking, God, I really want to get back to an area where I'm fighting more fucking ninjas. Get this stupid thing out of my way so I can fight more ninjas.
Yeah.
When I love a game like that and just force, okay, well, you're going to have to go against this guy. If you're not good enough, well, you're going to have to go back home. And that's just really fucking frustrating to me.
But I see Ninja Gaiden in different contexts. I think Ninja Gaiden is a game where I enjoy the combat. And it's not necessarily just the combat against a certain type of enemy. I enjoy the combat if the game presents me in a different situation. Like, take Ninja Gaiden 2. Remember that late in the game, there's a boss that's like a giant earthworm that you're fighting inside a tunnel?
Yeah.
That's completely different from, like, every other combat scenario in the game. And I appreciate that was in there.
Yeah.
Even if it is just, like, a blocking point to the rest of the game.
Well, I get back to that Ninja Gaiden. There was a point in Ninja Gaiden 2 where I quit, and it was the two armadillo fire bosses that you got to fight.
Cracks me up. This is the same game. Like, I had the fucking flying armadillos with the pig heads, and you're like, what the fuck?
The great thing about that armadillo fight, when it first comes out, you're fighting against this army of ninjas, and the army of ninjas has so much of your guy's bullshit that they fly a cargo plane down at you, and they roll out a giant fucking armadillo to fight you. It's like, you know what? Fuck you! Let's see if you can go against this armadillo.
What's great is, in the level beforehand, while you're tearing apart the airship that they're on, and they're losing their heads, but all over the announcement speaker, you're hearing, we must launch the armadillo. Prepare the armadillo. Count
yes!
That's incredible.
They had the armadillo waiting for you.
But like, Warren Spector always says that video games are a hobby about doing things. Like, there is an action. Whenever he makes a game, he says one action that he wants that game to be about. Like, with Epic Mickey, it was about paint. That's basically what his design document said. And they're like, okay, let's build a game around painting. Let's build a game around this premise. But I think David Cage is correct in saying that if we start thinking outside the box and not with how are we going to execute this type of thing, well, with QuickTime events or with boss battles or with – if we think about it in a bigger sense, like, okay, let's have no combat, let's have no boss fights, and let's have nothing but character development. How is this going to work as a game? Like, that's when you start getting creativity.
That's necessarily incorrect, because I greatly enjoyed Shattered Memories, and that had none of those things.
Right. Yeah.
But it still required some amount of keeping the player engaged.
Yeah.
So even if I didn't necessarily like the chase sequences, I felt a game without those would have been a lot worse.
Well, no, and that's fine. But, I mean, like, because that's not necessarily battling. That's not necessarily
getting conflict.
I actually think I would have liked Shattered Memories just the same if it had no chase scenes whatsoever. But I'm a nerd that, like, would love to just explore Silent Hill, so that game was, like, perfect for me.
Right. But see, that's what I mean. Like, exactly. You have a game, and I heard Shattered Memories is amazing in that regard.
Shattered Dimensions is not amazing.
Yeah, what is that?
Spider-Man game.
Oh, fuck, that is the Spider-Man game. Shit-tastic. But yeah, I think it's one of those that once developers as a whole start thinking besides, well, how big is the health bar going to be on this enemy? Like, once you get out of that, then we're going to start seeing some really cool stuff.
Oh, man, there was, like, you know how Infamous 2 has a mission creator now?
Really?
Yes.
There was a GameSpot interview with one of the Sucker Punch guys, and the last question he asked is there anything to incentivize us to actually play these missions? Do we get achievements or anything? And that was, like, the most fucked up possible question I could think of.
I like achievements.
I actually do like achievements, too, but if you're talking to the game creator and he just tells you, we just created this little big planet area for this game that should not actually need it.
Yeah.
And
why
the only
should
thing you'd ask is, what achievements do you have for this? You're probably kind of a douchebag.
What I loved is that in like the trailer for this create mode, the first two things were the types of missions that I absolutely hate. It was like a defend mission and then an escort mission.
Fuck that shit.
So apparently you can see your feet in Battlefield 3.
Oh shit.
Yep, just read that somewhere.
That game looks great. Actually, I'm not all that interested in it from a campaign perspective. But it actually looks graphically great.
We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back, and I have a question for us to rage about more, and I might be the only one on one side of this. Okay. And then we're also going to answer some bearder mail.
Reader beards.
I don't know
what that means.
Going to answer some reader beards.
So many reader beards, but we'll take a quick break, and then whenever we get back, we're actually going to do the introductions because we just started with raging and didn't introduce who the fuck is on this podcast. But we'll be.
March 2nd, 2011, and you're listening to the Memento podcast.
Yeah, the Chris Nolan
Memento cast.
Do not trust this man's lies.
It's an inception.
Right, yes.
Remember Sammy Jenkins?
Do not trust the bearded man.
Okay, quick Memento spoiler. I need to... Okay, we've all seen Memento, correct?
Yes.
How long has it been? Has it been pretty recent? Or
it's been a while. A
couple of years.
Okay.
Yeah, a couple of years.
But you know the whole thing with Remember Sammy Jenkins, right? Like that he wrote on his hand, and it was the guy that had the
dopey looking guy.
Yeah, that had the diabetic wife. Was that him? Was he Sammy Jenkins?
I thought that was the point of it.
I did too, but apparently I'm completely wrong.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Wait, really?
Apparently, Chris Nolan said that the main character is not Sammy Jenkins.
Yeah, that wasn't the first thing that occurred to me when I watched that.
I thought that was the entire point of the film.
No. Mind-blowing.
Now I have to go back and watch Memento.
Yes, exactly. I watched it back the other day, and like that blew my mind. Cause...
Make sure you have your totem with you.
I'm not sure if you guys ever noticed this, but in every Chris Nolan film, there's always a character that's kind of racked with the guilt of a girlfriend or a wife dying.
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems like one or two films I can understand, and a lot of them, it's basically that. Even like Batman.
Yeah. He wants to kill his wife.
I'm Brian Bolita.
I'm Wes Gardner.
I'm Mark Bradshaw.
I'm Imran Khan.
And we are joined by...
Hey!
Snubbed.
You were denied, sir.
I'm part of this, okay? I'm Hart. You can be earth, wind, and fire and shit. I'm Hart.
Yeah. Earth, wind, fire, and shit.
There's a tiny Native American man, or maybe he was South American. I don't know.
Wait, who is the one?
We have to get rid of this podcast now.
Who is the one in the wheelchair?
Look, I'm only racist when I'm driving, okay?
Me too.
Who? The kid in the wheelchair, you're thinking of the Burger King Kids Club. They had
no, because wasn't there someone...
It was a kid with a monkey, and he was hard.
Yeah. Mateen.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so he was in the wheelchair.
No.
No,
I was thinking of the wheelchair.
I'm telling you, you're thinking of the BK Kids Club.
There's no kid in a wheelchair. Stop trying to make me disabled.
Yeah, nobody in Captain Planet was disabled.
I'm just picturing like some deviant art. Some deviant art fetish. Some artist comes with, yeah, let's put the Captain Planet people in a bunch of, let's make one a quadriplegic. He's having sex with, like...
I bet it would take me under 3 minutes to find chubby porn of Captain Planet on DeviantArt now.
He's like eating donuts.
I just Google Captain Planet disabled. And the first thing that comes up is just like a thing, and then it says click this button to disable embedding. So yeah, proves it. Yep, there's the wheelchair kid. BK Kids Club.
Yeah.
Mark knows his shit, man.
No, that's what I'm thinking about. Didn't that have a kid with, like, the ski goggles on? He wore ski goggles for no reason, like the snowboard goggles?
What was the cartoon with, the, like, the... Was it All-Stars? With, like, the pro football players and
yeah, that was...
Like,
yeah,
white all, jet ski and...
All pros, yeah.
Oh, man, that show was amazing. Oh.
Did you guys ever watch Cartoon Superstars Save the Day?
Cartoon Superstars?
I don't think so.
It was a special about this kid that was on, like,
it's a huge
drunk.
Crossover event.
Okay.
Yeah. I watched it on YouTube lately. It's still pretty fucking hilarious.
Amazing. I still think the funniest thing I've seen on network television is the Lifetime movie about the like 14-year-old who's addicted to pornography. Laughed so goddamn hard. Because like his darkest descent was he got a Sears catalog and like looked at the like the bikinis and stuff in it. And that was him looking at porn. And like,
oh, man. That's like where you start. That's not where you end up.
Exactly. And the thing is, they were so worried about him and they put him to the emergency room. No lie, because he drank 2 Red Bulls. Garen fucking teed. And like, his life is turning upside down. He's drinking Red Bull. And I was like,
he wanted to stay up longer so he could look through more Sears catalogs.
I need to remember what the name of it is because like, it tears the
family
apart. There was
awful thing about it.
Oh, it's so fucking funny.
Do any of y'all watch Intervention?
Lifetime.
Actually, you could do a oh, were you talking about the Lifetime thing? Were you talking about the cartoon All-Stars?
Lifetime porn.
I would not type Lifetime porn into Google, Brian.
Yeah, that's the shit. Lifetime.
Yeah, Lifetime channel porn 14-year-old is probably not going to get you anything.
Found it. Cyber seduction. His
that's
secret
it.
Life.
That's it. Yep.
Cyber seduction. Nice.
See if there's a trailer.
How did you find that, Imran?
I looked up something awful. Lifetime porn addiction.
Because they did a IRC thing. Okay. They all watched it. Kind of how we do the Mystery Science Theater stuff.
Classy. His secret life: a lust for bust. Look at this kid. I bet that kid's
name. That's our title.
I bet that kid's name is Corey in real life.
Oh. Close as Jeremy.
Virgin vaginas. this is a screenshot. This is like a screen cap.
Oh man, he has hentai.
Yes, he does. From even cartoon porn.
And he's holding a CD, and it's scribbled on it. It says "Virgin vaginas."
This Why would terrible. You write the actual name on there?
I don't know. Wouldn't you write like "Mom, don't look here"?
Yeah. No, you'd write something like completely boring, like a C++.
Wait, is this Justin's mother? Justin's mother is a babe. Oh, wait, no, that's the same actress doing full frontal nudity in some other movie. But it looks like she's fighting a fire in the nude. I don't know. I want to see this movie now.
You know,
Naked Firefights had like a good porn website.
It is a good porn.
I'm kind of wondering about this Virgin Vaginas DVD. I mean, doesn't the fact that there's a that you're putting it on camera kind of like... the entire idea that's Virgin Vagina,
right?
It's probably has like a short shelf life.
It's
at
a
that
very
point. It can't, yeah.
Moral gray zone.
Doesn't that imply that she's not semantics. Virgin elsewhere? So
yeah,
I mean,
that's a good point. Yeah.
Well, no, just that you're very, you know, you're very focused. Like, it's not going to be like Virgin all over. Like, we're not dealing. That'd be way too broad. That'd take like 8 hours. That guy probably has like a CD, not a proper DVD. So he's got to like keep it minimal.
You burned it.
We
got to
handle
floppy.
A vagina today. We'll handle a mouth tomorrow.
All right, hold on.
He's got 15 frames per second in like sub VGA
resolution. FLVs.
Yeah,
I really hope Kazaa is in this movie.
Mom, While Justin is walking home, Diane gets a call from the bank asking about unusual activity on her credit card account because no normal people anywhere have ever purchased internet pornography, and ever since, charges immediately pounced upon by diligent watchmen.
Exactly. Lifetime movies are so fucking bizarre. It's like,
okay, there's a part apparently where he and his girlfriend are like making out, and she's making him feel her up, and he freaks out and escapes. Then goes home to drink a Red Bull.
He couldn't handle it.
Is this thing like,
this is a real boob, I can't handle this. Porn has broken him.
Yeah, right, it has broken him. His body was not ready.
My body is ready.
Just then, Jimmy comes into the locker room. Hey, freak, he says, I'm still getting perverted spam on account of you.
Fantastic.
I don't feel like getting perverted spam on account of anyone. I think it just comes to your email.
Yeah, exactly.
We're assuming a little bit too much about this movie. What if it's supposed to be like set in like Utah or something? You know, what if this makes perfect sense if you're a Mormon?
They don't have internet there.
Don't be silly, Mark.
Yeah, I know, that was terrible.
Da-da-dun. All right, we got reader bills. We got reader
beers.
Let's
do some. Did we decide on a name? All right, you decide.
I like Damon's.
Give us a clever name for reader mail. Yeah. Beard bag. What was Imran's? Was it beard bag?
No, UBS, the like United Beard Service, where what can beard do for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, see what I mean?
Yes. It is simple.
What are you doing?
Okay, so we have
that
given
was the most tortured like decision making.
It was like me playing League of Legends. I was like,
all right, so we only got a couple questions. We got, I think, 4, maybe 5, and we've given these questions special treatment. Should we even mention what it is, or should we just jump right into it?
Let's jump right into it.
Just jump right in.
Okay, let's see. Our first question is from Harling Talks AD from the platforms, and he asks, it is frightening how much you try to source it, Infinite Duck.
Yes.
What do you have to say? I think we need some more filtering for the mail for the beard bag. That's
is that a bad question?
Yeah, that's. I think we need to like take these questions like before 5 minutes before we start. That,
yeah, we can put out the call and then we.
I think you're just ashamed to defend your stance. That's all. You're just deflecting.
Yeah.
Yes. No, you're deflecting.
Okay, no. It's Duck Source.
Duck Source.
Yes.
Duck
Try
Source.
Source it infinite.
It's the new Valve video game on the Source engine.
It's Duck Source. It's your source for ducks. You need a duck, you go to
DuckSource.com. DuckSource.com, yeah.
Special order.
If they ever made a DuckTales episode about Gabe Newell, that's exactly what they would call it.
Oh, man. Now I'm imagining G-Man replaced by Duckman, and it is basically the best game.
By Howard the Duck?
No, like Duck... Dude, you ever watch Duckman?
Duckman was pretty rad.
Duckman was fantastic.
Duckman had the squiggle vision thing that really annoyed me.
Yes, yeah. Duckman.
Squiggle vision was awesome. Like Dr. Katz.
Yeah, I remember Duckman. Duckman was pretty great. Yeah, Dr. Katz.
I love Dr. Katz.
And Darkwing Duck.
Darkwing Duck was amazing.
Darkwing Duck was fantastic. Aren't they rebooting that or something? No?
Probably.
There's something else there.
There's a comic that's apparently actually really badass.
Oh,
for Darkwing Duck.
Warren doing the new DuckTales.
Oh, that's right. Somebody's doing the new DuckTales. That's what it was. Yes. Okay. Anyways, we're gonna move on to the next question. Our next question is from Sparkshire, also from the platforms, and he asks, "Why it is Mortal Kombat still exist in 2011? The trick, as its only one reason, was that certain people angry. I do not understand why they still make it." I'm not sure there were any question marks in that.
Yeah, was this the one that we like went through the Icelandic translator, or was that actually Sparkster?
this was the one where we tried to translate it into Japanese and then back into English,
right.
But it was almost exactly the same.
Sparkster is a secret genius.
Well done, Sparkster.
Yeah. Secret genius.
You get commended.
So the actual question was, why is... this is word for word. Why is that Mortal Kombat still exists in 2011? Like, the only reason for one, its gimmicks was to piss off certain people. I don't understand why they still make it.
Was that a translated version?
No, that was the real version.
Okay.
I kind of see what he means. Is like, But I don't know. I think saying that Mortal Kombat was made specifically to piss off Congress gives Ed Boon way too much credit.
I think it was made specifically
to make money.
Yeah.
I think the question should be, why does Mario still exist in 2011?
That's right, baby. Why does that shit still exist?
Yeah. Because those games are actually fun.
Shut up. Mortal Kombat 2 was a good game.
All fighting systems should only be made by Japanese developers, but everything else outside that fighting system should be made by Western developers.
Right, like outsourcing.
Because all the stuff Mortal Kombat has outside of that fighting game looks really cool.
I don't know, man. It looks like they rebalanced the fighting stuff. Like, actually looks pretty rad.
I fundamentally dislike the Mortal Kombat fighting.
It's terrible. It's absolutely disgusting.
It's like Mortal if I took Kombat a wind is. Doll and another wind doll and just clashed them together repeatedly. Well, and yeah. I guess a fake one throwing fireballs.
I think Mortal Kombat's better balanced than Tekken. Like, Tekken's chump change, no, man.
Tekken's actually a fighting game.
Not really.
Mortal Kombat is a it's like a sequence of seizures.
Tekken is like a juggle fest. Like, you learn how to juggle. Like, that's all it is.
Tekken, you start a juggle and then you walk away from the controller and, you know, you go back and the game's over and,
I played one of the recent ones, one of like the downloadable Tekkens or something, because my brother bought it, and I couldn't deal with it. But I remember being very fun and having a lot of fun with like Tekken 2 back in the day. Right. I remember, man, Paul Phoenix pissed me off so much.
He charged that punch, man.
But then I learned Jones' infinite hit combo.
Exactly.
And that was pretty sweet.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know what's always weirded me out? In like the last Tekken game, 6 or something, they have the exact same character as in Street Fighter 4. Like, they have this big fat guy that happens to move really fast.
No, but the Tekken's really fat guy came before Street Fighter's really fat guy.
Did it? Yeah. I need to find some, like, time
limit. Isn't there some Tekken crossover game that's coming out soon?
Yeah, Street Fighter versus Tekken. I think that's their game for next year.
Now, that said, the first game that had the fat dude that moved really fast was Fatal Fury Special Bout.
That's true, the guy in the suspenders.
Oh, man, that guy was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically all games need a fat guy that moves really fast.
Yeah, that's the secret to success.
It's like unnaturally fast. It's like Chris Farley. Every fighting game needs a Chris Farley. It's just...
Unfortunately for Marvel 3, that is Sentinel, and it is fucking annoying.
I thought that was one of the later questions. Did I miss a question?
Yeah, there's a Marvel 3 from Sparkster.
Oh, right, yeah, never mind. There it was. I didn't get it, though.
Splendid,
okay.
Of course. All right, I think, like, Mortal Kombat 2, like, when we say, like, Mortal Kombat 2 is good, which I agree to an extent, but I'm looking at it through a veil of, like, why I liked it back then. And it wasn't because it was a good game. It was because it was a competent game that let me punch a dude into acid
and his bones exactly. And they got away from that for the longest time, but now they're coming back to it. Like, that's the point of this game, is to fucking,
well,
like,
the thing is that, like,
eat people's
shock
souls.
Shock value, it's like trying to do a John Waters movie now, too. Shock value is gone.
Yeah.
You cannot sell a game on just shock value. Even, like, Bulletstorm is, like, I don't know how many curses were dropped in that game and how many mentions of dicks and balls, and, like, everyone's just like, yeah, sure, that's
how they what of virgin vaginas?
Yeah. The most shocking.
They mentioned that all in Bulletstorm.
I gotta kick that out of my house.
This is terrible. This is, man, I love our explicit rating.
Gotta start down. All right,
okay, our next question in the United Beard Service bag is from Q, also who we've had on the cast and is on the platformers. And anyways, his question is, Blink's the Time Sweeper, Ghoulies or Grab, the first party you ever have to play Xbox games.
This is something that he came up with himself. That's not the translated one.
Yeah, this is his puzzle for us to solve.
We all know, it's a puzzle. But I don't know, if it was my first party ever that I'm throwing and I had to pick an Xbox game to play, I'd probably pick... I haven't played either of those. I don't have an Xbox.
I thought Blink's was that game you're all excited about.
Yeah. Yes, well, okay, that's going to come later. We'll get to that, but yes, Blink's, Blink's is the game I'm very excited about. Okay. If you're Satoru Iwata or...
I would say, if I were throwing a party and I had to, like, have one first-party Xbox game just sitting out playing, I think it would be Blink's, because it's kind of has that inexplicable hipster charm where it's just this fucking time-traveling cat with the vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, and he has the DreamWorks, like, smug face.
Exactly. If you want to go real hipster... You'd have, like, the Xbox hidden and, like, no controller attached, so it'd be on the track screen constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's inexplicable. I like that. Yeah.
Okay, Q's actual question was, you have to play a first party Xbox games for all eternity. Blinks the Time Sweeper or Grabbed by the Ghoulies. And there's actually no question mark. It just ends with a period. I guess it's a state.
It's like a command.
Yeah.
Well, Blood Rain's not first party.
Is it? I thought it was.
No, that was Majesco, I do believe.
Yeah.
Oh.
That was the last thing they've
ever done. That's like the chip and cookie company, right? Majesco, ding.
You know, that's exactly the same thing.
Nabisco.
I would pick Blinks, because like, there's just something so wrong about it. It has to be right.
I would pick Blinks because the only other alternative is playing a rare game for eternity, and that cannot possibly be a good thing.
Oh, God. All right. Our next question is from Blaze Hedgehog.
Yeah.
And
is it in English?
Yes, it actually translates exactly the same both ways. His question is, why are penguins?
That's not a complete sentence, Blaze.
I mean,
I feel like that's a full
now people are going to get on you about Wallet Abuse Wednesday and spelling mistakes and about being a hypocrite. But
I go through three different spelling editors. I go through proofreaders. The fact that shit just keeps popping up is not my damn fault past that point.
it's actually like Wes. He just pops in there. Like,
yeah. Like, gee, I'm going to put the I before E in science. And like,
he goes back and reverts all the apostrophe its back to the regular its. Yeah. Just fucking drive me insane. I got it right the last time.
The I goes before E in science anyway.
I know.
And I don't know. As far as penguins, I'd have to say because not enough ducks.
Yeah.
So they needed something else.
Okay, so here's the thing. Ducks and penguins. Well, penguins just can't fly, right?
Yeah.
So
hold on, I have an answer to that. Sorry, go on. Sorry.
The fact that penguins don't fly makes them a superior race of bird because they don't need to. You know what I mean?
There's a thing where like a penguin, if it gets above like 50 degrees, the penguin will just die. But a duck can, you know, you always see ducks all the fucking around. So yeah. I think a duck is superior. No,
ducks are just trashy.
Well, no, because, you know, you have to, like, you can see a duck any goddamn day. Penguins are special because you have to go to them.
And they look like they're wearing suits, fucking tuxedos.
Yeah. If you had to go into battle, which of the two birds would you take? Because I would say penguin.
Oh, yeah.
Penguins have balls. Like, they would have
penguins are pretty badass,
Well, penguins do have a history with the penguin and also with his penguin rockets.
And they always have their eyes kind of squinted, so they always have that, like, come at me, bro.
Look, I've seen a video of a penguin just fucking like traversing across a beach somewhere like far south. It's cold, but there's still beaches or whatever. And I've just seen him just straight up jump across a fucking lion seal.
Oh, that was great!
Right there, he's just
they would just step right on the motherfucker. He's like, hey, I'm coming through.
Yeah,
he just laps his arms while walking away. Like, yeah, I just did that.
And they always look so smug.
I'm a fucking penguin, bitch.
Yeah, they constantly have that "fuck you, I'm an anteater" pose. They just do it naturally. So that's why penguins. To relate it back to the second question, which was about fighting games Mortal Kombat. Penguins because Blade War, and because there was a character that turned into a penguin.
There was a penguin,
and was just too short for anybody to hit ever. So he just constantly you could fly around the screen like freaking I don't know.
Odd job.
Give me something that flies around the screen.
Wesker?
Yes, he flies around the screen like Wesker, just spinning through the air, doing like constant Zangief lariats through the air.
But he can't fly. We already established this.
No, he can fly, but just for very short of time and not very far off the ground.
It's not fly so much as launching.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I would also, if we're going to go penguins versus ducks, I'd also like to take a look at the spokesman for each animal. Now, the penguin spokesman would, of course, be Opus from Bloom County, whereas the duck spokesman would probably be Donald Duck. And I don't think anybody actually liked Donald Duck. And if you didn't like Opus, then you're a bad human.
I'll tell you what, if you want to talk about someone that can rage, though, it's Donald Duck. Donald Duck would be furious all the fucking time.
Only thing he has going for Donald. I mean, to probably get those kids away from him because that can't be a good situation.
I like that this little sailor hat.
Aren't they his nephews?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're also Scrooge Duck's nephews, which leads us to wonder what the fuck happened to their brother.
What the fuck happened to those kids' parents where they have to live with their uncle and their
This is like how.
Well, maybe that's why Scrooge is rich and Donald isn't.
They killed him off.
That's why he's constantly enraged.
Yeah.
They killed off the family and made the millions from their wills.
They're the Menendez brothers.
Scrooge fucked him out of that money.
Oh my God.
He swims it every day.
May I interject a question kind of about tangential to the Mortal Kombat thing?
Yeah.
Yes.
On a serious note. Okay, so Mortal Kombat, people are saying that at least the other modes are looking decent, and the main game people who like Mortal Kombat are being appealed by it and shit. So it's making at least a somewhat decent comeback, I'd say, right?
Right.
And it's going back to that retro. So,
what do you think are the chances for Killer Instinct?
Because I did talk to somebody at Rare who said he was drawing concept art for Killer Instinct. I don't know if it was because there was a point in time where there were three projects they had that Microsoft had greenlit, and one of them was Cameo 2. The other two were, I think, one was Banjo-Kazooie, and the other one was probably Killer Instinct, mm-hmm. and all three were just taken off the board.
Right.
All were canceled.
I would play a game that would be the Bulletstorm of fighting games. I don't know what that would be. Would that be Killer Instinct? That could be.
I think that'd kind of be Mortal Kombat. Wouldn't that
I don't know.
Sort of be Mortal Kombat? Because, I mean, it's kind of making fun of how violent an aspect of
Mortal
a fighting
Kombat
game is
also,
anyway.
In some strange way, takes itself too seriously.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not even in a strange way. It takes itself too seriously. That was the game's main problem. It's like the first one was kind of goofy, had that little Big Trouble, Little China feel to it, and then it just completely went off the tracks. Now the world has ended, and there's just no humor to it whatsoever. And it's just, you know, the universe-wise, it's just like the worst, most oppressive, like 13-year-old thought this shit up dreck you can imagine.
Yeah.
See, but it still kind of feels like that.
Yeah, it's straight up Todd McFarlane.
That's always the descriptor.
Yeah,
they may have changed like with number 9, but the main problem with number 9 is it's carrying all that burden from like all the other 7 Mortal Kombat
terrible. Yeah.
Well, no, the 2D ones. I keep saying this, but the 2D games were decent. Like,
yeah.
2 was legitimately a good game. 3 and Ultimate were probably lesser games because of
I loved. I still think Ultimate MK3 is the best one.
For their time, they were competent.
Right.
But
I didn't
really,
think they were competent.
I
think
they're games.
Well,
this
is a matter of
combo, complete bullshit. Like they're as fighting games, they are bad games. They're just for their own novelty, pretty much.
Well, if you want to go to the dollar combo thing, I don't think the dollar combo stuff is any different than the make your own combo stuff that like Darkstalkers are doing.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Like, isn't Blaze Blue dollar combo? I mean, that's I was playing it, man. That's everything.
Very
linked
low
with everything
level
else.
Blaze Blue, maybe.
Yeah.
That's because, I mean, no, but for Mortal Kombat, you would seriously, I remember being in the arcade and I would input 20 buttons in a row and just watch stuff happen for the next 10 seconds.
Right. Yeah, Killer Instinct
no
was
game
like
since
too.
Then has, yeah, Killer Instinct was also, that's why I thought of it, because I had the same thing where people literally had infinite, like, three characters per, I don't know, whatever, had infinite combos. It just happened on a regular basis.
You know, the thing about going Killer Instinct back, I think we just need to accept the fact that Killer Instinct probably wasn't very good to begin with, and you don't really want that back.
Right.
Well, no, but I like the games around those times were ridiculous enough. Like Clay Fighter, and you had the Jurassic, the dinosaur fighting.
Primal Rage.
Well, I was about to say, well, we need this new Primal Rage.
Yeah.
They were making one, and then they canceled it.
I like the idea of like, you know, a fighting game with like a wolf man and like random crazy assassin chick and a dude made out of fire, and, you know, and stuff, and just like off the rails, but also being a good game.
Right. Yeah.
Every time I played Mortal Kombat when I was a kid, I always chose Liu Kang and I always did Bicycle Kick and I never lost.
Yes. Yes.
I was always Sub-Zero and I cheesed the hell out of sliding.
I always picked I was very often Raiden and just did like the flying Superman across the screen all the time.
I was Kung Lao with the hat. Like, that's all I did. So they come at me and I'm like, hat trick, hat trick, hat trick, and they're like, fucking let me do something. I'm like, nope. Throw my hat.
Hat Dukin.
I remember watching that game and thinking digitized graphics, like the kind they were using in Mortal Kombat for the future, that it was just going to get like so much better. We'd see actual people there.
Oh God.
God, now I look at that, I'm like, it makes me physically sick to watch Mortal Kombat.
I just want you to know that's exactly what everyone making this Sega CD thought too.
Yeah. So this is so much cheaper. We don't have to hire artists. We can just hire some jackass actors to move around and stuff. So, yeah.
Oh, man,
that's what Ninja Theory did, and then they made Enslaved.
If there was a comeback game that I would want, fucking Sewer Shark. I want a new Sewer.
Oh god, did you guys used to play that Ninja Turtles fighting game?
Which yes.
One? That was
yes.
Fucking amazing.
That game was awesome. That
was fighting, was awesome. Like an actual could, fighting game?
You could yes. Be Ray Filet, the humanoid manatee.
Oh shit.
Wait.
His name was Ray Filet.
That's fantastic.
Is that game on YouTube somewhere?
Fabulous.
It was on the Super Nintendo and Genesis. I think there was a little difference between the two. But they're mostly the same game.
I vote
the game was really awesome.
I vote we just get like a high def remake of Masters of Teras Kasi, the Star Wars fighting game.
Oh god,
game.
That was so terrible.
Well, it was, but the only reason why I bought it and I played it is so me and my friends could like beat the character select screen, and it's like Princess Leia versus Whore. Because there was named Whore, and I was like, that's all I did.
The character select screen for that game was actually the best part.
Yeah.
Because it was like this hologram thing that showed you the character you're currently highlighting. And it looked actually very Star Wars-y.
It was pretty rad.
That's pretty Star Wars-y. All right, we got one more question that was sent to us to our Nitrobeard Twitter account from Lance. And he asked, and I don't think we're going to have an answer for this question. I think maybe. Anyways, his question is, have you played your Infinity Burrito? If so, do you think it is completely worth price?
Okay, let's try this again. One more time.
Have you played Infinity Blade? If so, did you think it was worth full price?
Yes, maybe.
Full price is what, $5?
I think it's $7. Let me check.
I think it's like $7.99 or $6, I don't know.
That's the just straight up Final Fantasy rip on
Wait a minute.
iPhone? No, I don't think it's. Is it?
No, that's the one. That's the one Chair made that was the sword swiping one. That's not.
It was Punch Out with swords.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't played it, but that's because I'm on a shitty iPhone 3G, and it probably wouldn't let me.
Yeah, I bought it, and it looks really good, but I mean, if you're gonna play an iPhone game, that thing saps your battery like crazy.
Yeah,
like, so there's no decent time to play it because I still need my phone to make calls.
Right.
Like, okay, so Hot Spring Story came out this week, and that's probably a much better iPhone game.
What game?
Hot Spring Story.
Oh, right. Yes, that came out.
That sounds perverted.
It's basically a game dev story, but instead of making games, you're running a hot spring.
Oh, nice.
I have to real quick mention how fucking excited I am for Sword and Sorcery. Which is this? I posted on Sword and Sorcery. I posted about it a while ago on Nitrobeard. It's an iPhone game that it's done. At least the graphics are done by the Super Brothers, which do these kind of really wacky, kind of pixel art, tall, lanky characters. They have this really unique style, and I think it's actually being, as far as the gameplay mechanics, is being done by Capybara Games, who did what's the game with the puzzle of the little monster that eats things and spits things.
Creature.
Kirby.
No. Creature.
Resident Evil.
Hold on. Resident Evil.
Infinity Blade. Which, by the way, is $3 today. It's on sale.
Really?
What is?
Infinity Blade.
Let me ask you something. Imran, playing Infinity Blade, do you think like there's enough to that core gameplay concept that you can build upon it, or is it kind of just...
Critter Crunch.
Probably. They could probably make a free roaming game with similar or the same graphics. They probably didn't because it's an iPhone game and you make a ton of money putting anything on there.
Right. Well, just graphics aside, because I mean, graphics or whatever. But the main problem with like the iPhone is the controls. I always felt like the main reason that thing was the way it is because it controls. That's the best way to get an iPhone game controlling like a console game. So I just know if like you could take that core concept and turn it into something that actually resembles something you'd want to pay money on, like on a 360 or whatever.
Well, I think you could make a decent, probably not an accurate, but a decent Oblivion like on iPhone.
Okay.
Using whatever technology this is using. I'm guessing UE3.
Okay, did you guys hear me say Critter Crunch? That was the game I was thinking of.
Oh, nice.
And they also
is
did that.
Cereal?
No. But they
Think
also
of Captain
did,
Crunch.
They did that new Might and Magic kind of like puzzle game on the DS, and it also came out on consoles, downloadable PSN, Xbox Live as well. It's kind of like the puzzly top-down Might and Magic game. What was it called? Call of Heroes or something? Clash of Heroes.
Oh yeah, that game is rad.
Anyway, I've heard
very good things about the DS version.
It's really good.
But yeah, so anyway, so Captain Bear Games is working with Super Brothers to make this game called Sword and Sorcery for iOS, and it looks freaking fantastic, at least certainly for me, from my love for adventure games and stuff in the past. Yeah, it looks kicking rad, so I just had to mention that.
Oh, before I forget, Wes.
Yes.
What were we talking about?
You ordered Radiant Story the other day. Have you played it yet?
Hell yeah.
What do you think?
I'm like 10 hours in, and that game is amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
You're actually much further than me.
It's really good, dude. It's we could start. This could be kind of our what have we been playing? Because basically all I've been playing is Radiant Historia and StarCraft II. But Radiant Historia is, I know other reviewers have said this, but it's the best descriptor. It is the best Super Nintendo RPG you forgot to play.
I think it reminds me a ton of Chrono Trigger.
Yes.
Which is like a very high praise I can sing for this game.
This,
like, it's the same guys, basically.
Yeah,
right?
It is. This is like a dream team, brother. This is, oh my god, the people that worked on Xenogears, Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasy VI. Like, if you get
like one of the personas were on it,
yes,
right?
Yes, the Shin Megami team. Like, if you get the best of from like the mid 1990s of Japanese role playing games, they're working on this game, and it shows. Like,
so Phantasy Star is on it.
It kind of, parts of it remind me of it. I'm serious, man. Like, this is one of those games that it takes everything I loved about RPGs growing up and refines it perfectly, and then takes my complaints and turns them on their head. Like, kind of, I think, I know my biggest complaint with those older RPGs is backtracking. But this, the entire core of the game is creatively backtracking. It's almost like solving a puzzle. Because the premise of the game is basically you are a character, you're kind of a mercenary, Brian, you are a mercenary, and you and you have something called the White Chronicle. And what it does is it's a book that can control, let's see, what's the best way to put this? Because it doesn't let you...
It can go back in time and fix mistakes you've made.
Yes, but only for certain junctions.
What are we talking about? Is this something that's real?
Yes, it's right... the White Chronicle is not real, but the
White Chronicles.
Yeah, this is Radiant Historia, the DS RPG.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, you have the White Chronicle, and
sounds racist.
It's very
Chronicles was a follow up to the Turner Diaries. So.
There's a guy with the Black Chronicle who is currently going through time and trying to fuck you up completely.
This is really racist.
this sounds like mint.
This can only end badly.
But the game is so good, and the complaints I had with like JRPGs growing up, like it never felt like you were really progressing, or you would stagnate between boss battles, or it cuts out all of that. It's basically, you know how Final Fantasy XIII said we're going to get the RPG down to a basic science, and we're going to make it the best we possibly can. Well,
really?
That's what they. That was.
That's your interpretation of it.
No, that's what Square's interpretation of it is.
Oh, okay.
And then they were raging when people said it was fucking terrible, because it was. But Radiant.
Wait, I thought you turned around and loved it.
No.
Everyone else remembers this, right?
I like 13. I think Lai liked 13, but that may be it.
I liked 13 whenever I realized that all it is a battle game, and the rest of it's nonsense.
Like, I know there was a period where you hated it and you returned it, then you bought it, and you were like, dude, this is the best game ever, and you were like, Stockholm and shit.
I had it first, and then I hated it, and then I sold it, and then I rebought it, because I was like, okay, I did, I swear to God.
Oh my God.
And then I was like...
That's like the worst combination.
And then I was like, okay, now that I know what to expect, I might enjoy it more. Nope, still didn't, but I appreciated what was good about it. But yeah, the game's still bad. Like, that's such a clusterfuck of a game. But this is the polar opposite. Radiant Historia is basically the time travel mechanics work so well. And I thought, okay, for sure this is going to be a broken thing. Like, you're going to be able to go and just overpower for a boss and get all the shit and double up on your weapons. And you kind of can, but the game is built around you doing that. So... It's kind of hard
I mean, you don't really overlevel. Some paths will take you to areas that are way too strong for you.
Yes.
And that's where you think, hey, I can either try and, like, force my way through here, or go back in time. Like, here's one example of how this basically works. Like, you go through a path where you decide, I'm going to go with this, or join the military and help this guy out, and eventually you get to a part where everyone dies because you made a crappy decision.
Yeah.
You can't really, like, even if you go back and do that decision again, it'll still have the same effect.
Right.
So you go back to, instead of joining the military, you join Special Intelligence and gain new information and new skills that will help you save people in that other timeline.
Yes. So this isn't one of those things, because whenever I first heard about the game, I was like, oh, this is a choose your own adventure book. But it's
to an extent it is. Because there's some endings that are just like, well, you're fucked.
Well, no, and it's true, but also, this isn't as linear as that, because you can make decisions in one timeline that completely makes the other timeline not end where it did.
Yeah.
So, like, it makes the game bigger and bigger and bigger, so it gets less linear as you're going, which is mind-blowing to me. I don't know how they kept track of all this shit. Like, you look at the – because there's a place you can go – what is it called? The little area you can – go into to go time travel. I can't remember.
Historia.
Yeah, you just go into Historia, and you can see a grid of, like, your time signatures. Like, okay, this is when you picked to go to the military, or you went to the Special Forces unit, and then it branches out, like, 40 ways. And then you're like, oh, God, which one do I want to go with? Which one do I want to replay? But each decision you're making, and it informs you of these major decisions before you make them, but it'll do cool things like it'll show you a future. It'll show you where you're still alive, but two of your friends are dead. And you're like, oh, God, this could happen. How do I not make this happen? It's without giving away a lot of spoilers, like, it's rewarding in the fact that you know what's happening, but you don't know how you got there. So,
and the battle system is actually really great.
It's really good.
It's basically a 3x3 grid with enemies on it.
Yes.
And you can queue up your own moves and change places with enemies on the turn order, and set up massive combos where you put everyone in the same spot and just wail on them.
Basically, we mentioned Might and Magic, the Clash of Heroes. It kind of works in a similar way. It's almost like a puzzle game that your main moves, you can attack, or you can push an enemy left or right, or back, or however you want to do it. And it's all on this 3x3 grid. So if they're up close in the first row, they do more damage, but they also take more damage. But if they're in the back row, they do less damage and take less damage. So your whole thing is, okay, these guys are lined like in a diagonal line. So what I'm going to do is push the front guy to the middle and then to the left. That way those two are stacked. And then I'll attack them and then like revert it back around. And it's so amazing. Like, there's not a bad part to that game. I think that's why I love it so much. Like, there's
This and The World Ends With You are probably the best RPGs, not just on the DS, but of the last 5 years.
Of all time!
Like, I can guarantee you, once this game gets a following, it'll be in a lot of top 10 lists. I guarantee it, because this is the baby of Chrono Trigger, and people still talk about Chrono Trigger like it's the greatest game ever made. Not even RPG, but the greatest game ever made, and this is right in line with it. This is just as good. So
damn.
It's good stuff, man. Like,
I don't know if we hype that up enough for you guys.
But this year just seems...
Not that it matters, because, you know, it's an Atlas game on the DS, so like 5 copies were made. So if you're going to get the game, you already own it.
Right. That's true, but this year is going to be fucking sick for handhelds, man. This year is this year we're getting the new systems, right? Well, probably we're getting the 3DS. I don't know about the NGP, but we're getting...
Seems like they got to release NGP this year.
They solved the memory problem, so clearly they should be well on the way.
Yeah, but
I think we solved memory problem, and there should be enough megahertz.
Yeah, there kind of should be, but
we assume it'll be okay.
But
it should be a problem.
Like,
okay,
but you think you have Radiant Historia, and then you have Tactics Ogre in the same like freaking 5-day span. Tactics Ogre is amazing. I still haven't got to play it. I played the original on an emulator, but I want to get the PSP version because it just seems sick. Like, that whole game
looks
awesome.
I played it for a couple of hours. It's kind of crazy because obviously Square Enix didn't want to put that much money into it, so they didn't redo all the sprites.
Right.
But you have all this like incredibly high-res text and high-res textures on things, but the sprites are still SNES level, which seems really incongruent.
Yeah. I'm a fan of that, though. I love that graphical style. I love the way that those games look. I love, like, Breath of Fire 3 and just that weird quasi-3D polygon with textures on it mixed with sprites. I'm just... that's my bread and butter, dude.
Well, I wouldn't mind if they brought the sprites up to, like, Final Fantasy Tactics level. That wouldn't be bad.
Oh, you mean, like, War of the Lions level?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll agree with that. But man, this year for handhelds, and, like, I don't care what you bastards say, I'm getting Pokemon.
Oh, yeah.
I'm getting it.
I already ordered two copies.
See?
See, I haven't
you
even...
You will make me sick. You guys
have for once for my girlfriend.
You have a problem.
See, I haven't even really been following the handheld stuff. It didn't even occur to me that there was a lot of stuff. But for me, I don't know. There's just a ton of ballin' fucking games coming out soon. We got, like, Deus Ex 3. Oh. We got Brink. We got... you know, yeah, games.
What do we have that's coming between, like, now and E3? Because it seems like there's, like, kind of a lull, usually a lull between, well, like,
Torchlight 2.
Yeah, there's a lull of, like, mainstream AAA, this is on the front page of Kotaku type games, but I'll tell
that's
you what,
that's because they're all packing it in winter again, because they're idiots.
But, man, yeah. I'm looking forward to Total War Shogun 2. Like, game looks pretty sick.
Okay, hold up. All right, sorry, go ahead, Mark.
No, I was just thinking about what console stuff is coming out, because
there's Dragon Age
2.
Oh,
yeah,
boy.
Like I said, I wonder what console stuff is coming out. what else is with, like...
There's Crysis 2.
Well, I played the demo of that, by the way, and that's a train wreck.
Is it?
Really?
On the PC.
Is that the multiplayer demo?
Yeah,
or
it's the multiplayer demo on the PC.
Why
is
that a train wreck?
Ridiculous. It's
ballin'.
Well, it's cool in the fact that I can baseball slide and I can do all this other stuff, and then the demo level they give you is like 2 square feet wide by, you know, I mean, you just don't have room to do any of it.
And it was like 18 gigs.
Yeah, it's fucking massive. It took me overnight to download it, and I played it,
Jesus.
And then went like 0 and 37, and then I'm like, oh, this is it's one of those games that I can tell on message boards people are going to be like, oh, sure, you'd play Call of Duty, but if you want to play a real game, you'd play Crysis 2. Like, that's... It's
okay, all right. This brings me to my next question that we can rage about, and I guess we'll end on this, but okay, so Battlefield 3 or Brink?
Oh, Battlefield 3, dude. There's no doubt.
Blow me so hard.
There's
This is the one I said. Are you kidding me? I am so unexcited for Battlefield 3.
Oh, my God.
The Battlefield gameplay does nothing for me, but Brink looks absolutely amazing. And get this? It's $50. You know how much Battlefield 3 is going to be?
$60.
Oh, I know. You know what's better than both those games? Portal 2.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, admittedly, I'm really excited for Portal 2 as well.
Portal's gonna be sick.
But as far as my multiplayer game fix, of which I'll usually pick like one. I mean, like, it was Team Fortress 2 for a really long time, and I still play it, but I really don't play that many multiplayer games at a time, just because I, you know, like to pick one and kind of get good at it, or you know, have fun with it. And for me, it's definitely gonna be Brink.
Okay, sorry, it's Brian, but Brink comes out the same day as Witcher 2, apparently.
Oh, shit.
So that's not really a contest for me.
Well, no, see, it is, because I'm playing so many single-player games, and chances are I'll be playing the single-player for Brink as well. Yeah. But I don't know. No. I need to beat Witcher 1 first.
Yeah.
I need to go back and play it again, because I watched this, like, 10-minute gameplay video of Witcher 2, and it looks incredible. Looks totally good. And really good. It does not look like flat trash.
Right.
And so I need to go back and play Witcher 1, because I don't know, I must have just been tired and I just like fell asleep after at one point, and I was like, oh, this game must be bad.
It's very Eastern block.
Yeah, it is. And like, I've been playing a lot of those type of games, like Risen, and yeah, just games like that. They're very specific in the type of taste it goes after. But yeah.
I don't know. See, it's just Battlefield has been done. I mean, it's the exact same thing, and the multiplayer for me is more infuriating than anything.
Right.
I know it would completely change if I play with friends or like play on the Penny Arcade servers or something like that.
Right,
but
right.
It's just been done. I'm bored of that. I have realism in day-to-day life, and every single new realistic shooter that comes out takes place in Iraq or somewhere brown and dusty, and it's boring.
I'll tell you.
And Brink is colorful, and it's Team Fortress 2, and it's Mirror's Edge, and it's just gorgeous to look at. And I can make my guy look like a skull face tattooed strong man.
A beast.
And I can wall run and shoot some guy in the face in midair, land, feel like a badass as I defuse a bomb.
Yeah, Brink does look amazing. Like, do not get me wrong. I'm probably going to buy it, but I'll wait for it.
I already got you wrong.
But I will tell you, that there is, and probably other guys that have played Battlefield will agree with me, there is no better water cooler moment than anything in Battlefield. Like, I will tell you a story, and I'm bad at Battlefield. I'm terrible bad. Like, whenever you get on the, like, wing of a plane, and then, you know, someone's on the vent server, like, the plane, boss, the plane! And then you're, like, flying over, and you have grenades strapped to you, and you just know you're going to suicide bomb these people. But then the pilot doesn't tell you that he's just going to kamikaze crash into, like, all the other stuff, so he takes you and your entire team with you. But then that ends up winning you the game. Like,
see, shit like that is fun. That absolutely, I will agree with you. And in that aspect, it peaked with Battlefield 1942. Because then, you know, I don't know. I never ran into an experience in the times I was playing Bad Company 2. I never ran into times where, you know, stuff like that was going on. I didn't even find any vehicles. Like maybe I found an ATV at one point, but then it seemed like I could never get anything, and there was always some asshole in a helicopter flying above me. Yeah. Just,
I got into a helicopter once, and I immediately crashed it.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely one of those that, to get good with a helicopter, the helicopter's a broken thing in Bad Company 2 anyway, but then whenever you get good at it, you're rewarded because it's an insta-win, but yeah, the balance is not there.
Hello, winner.
Yeah.
Sorry, winner. I just had to go a little Charlie Sheen on you there.
But like... this year, we say this every single year, we said it the past 2 years, but this year looks to be another ridiculous gauntlet of, like, game after game after game of just,
yeah,
we will have the money for it, but not near enough time.
So we've already seen the GOTY announced, essentially.
Which one was that?
Magicka Vietnam.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I said, I'm bird.
Fucking amazing, man.
Imran's bird rule. So, yeah.
See, more DLC needs to be like that, to just poke fun.
It's so tongue-in-cheek, but it's, like, brilliantly tongue-in-cheek.
Right. Because I've heard complaints of the game, kind of how it tried to be funny, but sometimes they missed the mark on it.
Are you kidding me? Who did you see saying that? Because the game is just, it's one of the funniest things I've ever played. It's so good.
Well, it has some of those, like, kind of Ghostbusters, like, don't cross the streams, like, references and stuff. But sometimes I'm into that, and sometimes I'm not. Magicka does it subtly, and, like... more subtle than something like Bulletstorm. You know what I mean? Like, it goes for the humor, and it's actually kind of a sly wink and a nod, but then literally Bulletstorm just...
That reminds me of Working Designs jokes, which does not bear too well.
Right.
Clinton jokes and Austin Power references, those have dated themselves well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Vicarland.
I think Telltale does really good humor, because the Back to the Future, I think Back to the Future 1 is probably the funniest game I've played.
Okay, I got to mention this on the Beardcast right now. Did you guys, I posted up a screenshot, but at some point, that the Back to the Future game was like on the front page of Steam on the store. but like words can get cut off. Like right now, you know, it says Warhammer 40,000, you know, Dawn ... But so, it's up there right now. Oh, no, it's not. It's different now. But anyways, at some point it said Back to the Future, the GAM on the front page. And really, Nitrobeat has the lockdown on the GAM market.
That's really
true. That's how 99% of people find this, apparently.
I'll tell you, not only that, but like looking at the statistics, apparently 17 people last month looked for Imran GAMs. How does that make you feel, Imran?
I'm concerned and probably need police protection.
They want to see your GAMs, Imran. You've got to deliver to the people.
Yeah, show us your GAMs. But yeah, so video games, there are lots coming out, and I'm excited. And there's also, let's see, Hunted the Demon Forge. That looks pretty cool, maybe.
That's the most generic name I can think of.
Yeah,
it is pretty generic.
Warriors, the video game.
But Kamiden is coming out this month.
It's built around co-op. See? That's something I can get behind.
Child of Eden is coming out this month.
No, it got delayed.
Oh, it did? Oh, that's a shame. Let's see here.
You know, Kamiden's coming out. I just got the new edition of Game Informer, and I don't know why they keep sending it to me. But
wait, hold on. Deus Ex is coming out this year?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, dude, it was supposed to be relatively soon.
It was supposed to be out by now, but they delayed it to next financial year.
Yeah.
Like, has anyone seen gameplay of it?
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Really? I haven't seen gameplay of it.
Yeah.
Dude, there's go on Game Trailers. There's like a 14-minute. There's a 14-minute walkthrough with like the developers saying stuff like, "Oh, well, here's the part. We go to the bar and then we talk to the bartender." And oh yeah, man, it's a full walkthrough. And
I'd rather have someone playing it
really good
than developer walkthrough.
Yeah,
I mean, not that I don't trust them, but I don't trust them.
Well, no, I do, man.
You know what? You know what I was really surprised by is that there's like some big Battlefield 3 gameplay video posted today, and it was being demoed on a computer. On a PC. Like 99% of games that are... Wait, is Battlefield 3 going to be multi-console?
Yeah.
Platform?
Yes.
Okay, I assume so. I don't know. It just seems to me that like every single gameplay video you see is always on a console, and the guy is terrible, and you can tell because he's looking with the controller, and it's not smooth, and he's right. looking left and right. But I don't know. And I saw like the WSAD prompt, and I don't know. I was just surprised by that.
Probably because they wanted to show the 64-player multiplayer.
Right, yeah.
ICO's Shadow of the Colossus HD collection will be out next month.
Oh, shit.
I don't think so. I think they might just have a placeholder date in.
You might have. I have it like April 2011.
So that's, Imran, they're keeping it in their coffers until they Imran, need to hype up Last Guardian.
Yeah. Imran knows all.
Yeah. Well, no, that's Thanks, true. If Imran. It's a no, if it's a, just a date Jerk. And a year, it always gets pushed back. Like that's been a rule for years.
I finally borrowed ICO and Shadow for PS2 from people to actually play them, but I haven't actually touched them. Should I just wait for
just wait.
The big versions?
Yeah. Just wait, because they're going to fix the frame rate. They're going to fix the visuals.
And you're going to get some Chivos.
I'm looking at 17 made. That's a fucking murderer's row, which is to Brink and also LA Noir that month.
God.
Oh, right, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And the week after is Colin McRae Dirt 3.
Actually... So,
I'm excited.
Looks
that,
pretty good. The Dirt series has always been amazing.
Yeah, the Gymkhana stuff they're doing this year looks fucking incredible. I really want to see what they're doing.
I'm always like a year or two behind on racers. Like at some point this winter, I'll probably buy Hot Pursuit.
Yeah, get Dirt 2. That's all you need.
Somebody tell me what the fuck Homefront is. I keep seeing it, and I've like the only place I've seen it.
I thought it was a sequel to Metro, but apparently it's not.
No, it's not. It's a
Is it even made by the same people?
You remember that game Frontlines?
Yes.
No.
Frontlines, Fuels of War. It's like some...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, this was the game that, in development, basically they took... You remember when David Jaffe talked about making a war game that would make you cry? Or whatever?
Yeah, and he made the Calling of Cars instead.
Yeah, well, this is basically what he was trying to make. But the thing is, like, I know of it because I follow Greg Kasabin. He used to be, like, a editor-in-chief at GameSpot. And he worked on this before he started working on Bastion. And it looks okay.
Well, apparently if you pre-purchase it, you get Metro 2033 for free.
An on live console, because they're not hemorrhaging money at all.
Yeah. I would just say pay for Metro. Like, that's a better deal.
Well, if fucking Metro would go down on price. What's up?
I paid $5 for Metro on the last... Steam sale.
Bargain. Yeah, I should have grabbed it. I wish I had.
I grabbed it, and I'm a few hours in, except I have this bug that apparently has no fix where your guns just disappear.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Yeah,
it is.
That's great.
It is a jank.
It's fantastic.
It's a little bit of jank.
Well, I have the same problem with Metro that I have with Fallout. It's the atmosphere feels so oppressive, I just can't bring myself to boot the game up and play more.
There's no better feeling.
That sounds like the best.
The best thing about Metro is that your money is good bullets.
Yes.
Yeah.
Except you can use these good bullets.
Yep.
So when I looked on GameFAQs for like a bug fix, there were countless threads of people who accidentally shot away all their money.
Yeah, they don't have any money. I can tell you there's no greater fear that you'll feel playing a video game whenever you go outside into kind of the quarantine zones where there's radiation everywhere, and you actually put on your gas mask, and you can tell how like weathered your gas mask is because you can't see through the visor. So, you know, there's a snowstorm going on, and you don't have any money, and you're like, fuck, I just need to find something. You hear something behind you, then your gas mask runs out of oxygen, then it starts fogging up, so you can't see anything. And you're looking around, and you're like, oh, shit, something's right behind me. And, like, you don't have any weapons, none. You have a combat knife against a giant fucking, like, Valkyrie-looking thing. And then...
This sounds like the best game.
It's so good.
Sounds like Russian Amnesia.
That's actually exactly what it is. Just mix it with a Bioshock, kind of the mechanics and gameplay of Bioshock. Oh, man, it's so good.
Yeah, I'd like to play more, but I would like my guns to reappear.
Right. Like,
that would be kind of
hard
nice
to play in FPS.
Like what Call of Duty tried to do with set pieces. Like, we're going to make badass set pieces where rockets are going off and shit. Like, Metro and Half-Life, I'll put neck and neck for the best set pieces.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. This to me feels like...
I just got past Ghosts when my game screwed up.
Oh, yeah. This is one of those things that I'll put... This is the evolution of kind of the Half-Life formula. It's closer to Half-Life than it is something like Fallout.
This is kind of a non sequitur, but Double Fine just announced their new game, and it's apparently a mech game.
A mech game?
Really?
Yes. This is what it looks like.
That's like the Minecraft guys announcing they're doing a collectible card game.
Yeah.
Which they did.
Penny Arcade for some
reason.
Which
they did, if anybody wasn't aware.
Do you see the art they had of like those people holding the cards?
I think so, yes.
Because it's like this line of people, and they're the smuggest motherfuckers I've ever seen.
They were holding Pokemon cards, though, weren't they? They weren't actually holding cards for this game.
Yeah. Is this trench game? This looks interesting.
This is part of the Double Fine doing their
downloadable stuff.
Yeah, well, and this is cool because I remember, I think it was in like GamePro magazine, they sat down with Tim Schafer, and they're like, okay, explain what the hell is going on with Double Fine. And he was like, all right. Some of my favorite movies ever made were made in between making a bigger movie. Like, someone, I can't remember what example he made, but there was like an Asian movie that it was like some 3-year-long production, and people were getting exhausted and fucking tired of it. So in the middle of it, they made 2 short films, and one was The Chungking Express, and the other one was, oh God, I can't remember the name of it, but like classic films now. And they were made to rejuvenate the team. They were just made on a whim, like in 4 days. So he was like, what I decided after Brutal Legend, everyone was so exhausted and sick and tired of me that because I wanted to make Brutal Legend and no one else did, is I cut
– no one else wanted to play it.
Well, no, and he was like – and I cut my team into 4, and each of them got to make their own game. And I was like, that's kind of fucking
weird. I like the idea, but it's crazy that he's avoiding PC releases with this stuff.
I mean, I don't know, because this will make them a lot of money. I mean
– oh, man, did you guys see the sale numbers for Super Meat Boy?
Yeah, it was like – 55% Steam, less with XBLA.
Right, like, and it was released like what? How much long later?
I think they're getting. I think they're if a studio agrees to like XBLA exclusivity, they get a pretty sweet deal from Microsoft.
But so it's on PSN as well.
Yeah, this is on PSN.
Oh, it is. Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I mean, this is part of this is the fourth game, right? Because we had Costume Quest, we had Stacked, we have Trenched, and we had what was their other game?
I think that was it.
Have they not announced the fourth one yet?
No, unless you count the Costume Quest expansion.
No, it was Costume Quest, Stacked, Trenched, and what other next game they're doing. But that's not a bad, that's not a bad set of games to have under your belt.
Yeah, I just wish that, like, I feel like Team Meat now realizes that you should put on PC as well, because they found most of their success that way. I think Double Fine probably needs to realize that too.
Yeah. And I think, but do you think like Telltale has that kind of thing cornered? I guess kind of very specifically PC titles with Back to the Future and Sam and Max and Jurassic Park and.
I think they could get by in reputation alone for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Do we have anything else to rage about, gentlemen?
I don't know.
Let's see.
I ain't even mad. Marvel
3, but I'm not. Don't really have enough energy to do that right now.
I ain't even mad, bro.
I ain't even mad, dude.
You mad?
You mad, bro?
You mad?
Cool story, bro.
I ain't even mad.
Ooh, I want this. I just googled the Team Meat blog really quick to see if they had any announcement on the downloadable levels and stuff that have been announced and supposed to be like I don't know how many months ago. And apparently they've officially canceled Meat Boy for the Wii and are 3DS developers. That sounds cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So MCC was meeting with, or I guess he met with them because he was at GDC.
Oh man!
Oh, that's right. Didn't they want him to make a level for them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was from a while.
I guess he should introduce himself as the guy that inspired their and level thing
systems. Yeah, the replay.
So mind blowing, man. He's so good. What's his new game? What's MCC's new game? That
he's working on something called Angels, I believe.
I thought it was the snap is the one thing he's mainly working on.
He
had
snap going on. Yeah, he was going on, and a third thing going on at the exact same time.
We should probably mention that MCC is a platformer and all around internet fellow who made a pretty well received indie game called Jumpman. And yes, we know. But it was a game in which you kind of rotate the level around and slide around. It was kind of a retro callback, and it was really good.
It's very good.
And so he's working on some new stuff, and so that's the guy we're talking about right now.
Yeah, it's at runhello.com.
Yes, it's runhello.com, yeah.
So he's an awesome dude. We got to get him on here one of these days.
We should.
Just interview
him. That'd be fantastic.
About game design and because he makes some hardest balls game, man. And, like, he really does. Those games are difficult, but they're fair. Like, I don't see how he can get it. Like, this one guy just dedicates his time, and he gets this perfect sense of balance. You know, almost like Super Meat Boy's kind of the same way. You know, this perfect sense of balance. And then there's giant fucking teams of people named Riot Software that make fucking League of Legends. Can't get any of this shit right at all. But I'm serious.
And now we've gone full circle.
Yeah.
Oh my god. See, it's like 45 minutes of fucking match. It's 45 minutes.
If I may say so, this has all happened before, and it will all happen again. Mm-hmm.
How do you like that Battlestar reference, Belita?
I don't get it because I don't watch that dumb show.
Oh, how dare you!
Bye!
How dare you! We're gonna go beat up Brian. We'll be back next week.
Oh, God.